The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
As I studied this past week over some things, I felt like the Lord would have me share this morning. This story came to my mind that I heard when I was probably, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. The preacher told a story about this man who lived in a place where it was a lot of snow and blizzards would come through, and they were very dependent on heating their house with fire. His father is in the house with his son and his family, and there's a blizzard coming, or there, and you know, the snow is very high and it's very dangerous, and I've never been in a blizzard, but from what I understand, it, you know, sometimes it snows so hard you can't see, and it snows so hard that, you know, if you get out there 50 yards, you might have trouble determining which direction is which. So the dad needs to go out to the woodpile to get some firewood. And so the dad goes out there and he gets the firewood and, you know, maybe 100 yards from the house. And when he gets there and he's loading up his arms with the firewood, he turns around and there's his very young son standing right behind him. And the dad kind of scolds him a little bit and says, "What are you doing out here in the snow? You know, this is dangerous and you can't figure out where you're going." And the little boy says, "Well, it was easy." He said, "I was just stepping in my dad's tracks." And number one, that's a little terrifying when you think of the application there. As a father, knowing that if I do right or if I do wrong, I'm making it easier for my children to do just that. Okay? But that's not the application I want on that. The application here that I want you to get is, here's a man that was walking somewhere and he had a young child following him. Okay? And he was following the tracks that were set out before him. So if you look in John the 10th chapter, keep that in mind and just keep that visualization in mind, because that helped me as I studied these things when I was at the end of it all and I'd come to the conclusion that I believe the Lord had put on my heart. I thought back to that story and I thought, it's that simple. And it's really that simple. And this is a message of great comfort, okay? So in John the 10th chapter, I'm going to read just one verse here out of John the 10th chapter. This is the chapter of Jesus as the shepherd and his people are the sheep. It's the greatest sheep chapter in the whole Bible. You know, oftentimes that Jesus, or the Lord, is referred to as the great shepherd, and he refers to his children as the sheep. So in John the 10th chapter, there's many things that could be talked about here. But the fourth verse is what I want. And it says this, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." That's all I want to take out of that. "He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." Now, I have found in my life that it has been a great comfort when I'm coming up on a situation that is new to me and I'm unfamiliar with it, to find somebody that has been there and to talk with them about it. It may be as simple as, you know, I just graduated high school, I'm fixing to start college, let me go find Big Brother who's already been to college. Tell me what it's like. Tell me what the classes are like. What do they expect out of me? What are they going to, you know, how hard are they? Are the tests hard? How much is it like high school? Or maybe somebody's fixing to go have a baby and they've never had a baby. They're going to find somebody that's had some. Tell me what it's like to have a baby. What they're doing is they're looking for somebody that has gone before them and has already done that, because in talking with them and listening to them explain their experience, what you find is comfort. Right. You're comforted to know, okay, I don't have to go into this blind. Right. Here's somebody that's already been there. They've already experienced this, and I can draw comfort from that. Well, this says Jesus, who is our great shepherd. One of the things that Jesus does as the shepherd, it says, is that he goes before us. Okay? And we follow him. In a sense, he is laying down some tracks. And we will follow those tracks. Now, there's a lot that you could say about following Jesus, but for the sake of time, I want to just look at a few quick examples of in what way that we'll follow Jesus. One of the things that probably is the most terrifying to us as human beings, whether you are afraid of this for your own life or for the lives of those that you love, is suffering and death. That scares us to think about that. You know, you get a little ache or you get a little pain and you start thinking, oh no, this is the end. You know, this is just the first signs of something terrible. And from here on, it's a downward spiral. I'm going to end up in a hospital and it's going to be bad. And that scares us sometimes. We're fearful of that. To think about death is coming. Well, the Bible tells us that it's appointed to man once to die. Okay, now I know there's a few exceptions out there, okay? But for the billions and billions and billions of people other than Enoch and Elijah, we die, okay? Unless the Lord comes back, we're going to die. But I want you to look at John the 19th chapter. And I want to look at just a few simple ways that the Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, has gone before us, and we can draw comfort from this. In John, the 19th chapter and the 30th verse, it says this: "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." Now think of what happened up to this point. Here you have Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who has been mauled and beaten so much that the Bible tells us in Isaiah the 52nd chapter that he was marred. It says when they saw him, they were astonished when they saw him beaten. They looked at him and just were like, they just gasped. And it says because he was marred beyond any man. That means he was so disfigured, he was unrecognizable. Okay, he says his form was so marred that he did not even look like a son of man, is what it says. He didn't even look human. You ever been riding down the road and you've seen roadkill and you're like, man, that's been run over 100 times. I can't tell if that's a beaver or a coyote or a deer. That's being mangled and marred. And that's what Jesus Christ, our Savior, body was like. Beaten and just ravaged so much that they gasped when they saw him. And he suffered. And he went before us as the great shepherd, suffering all the way up until the point of his death. And we know if unless the Lord returns or unless he sees fit to just take us home without seeing death, which is not likely, we will follow him there. He suffered and he died. And we, his sheep, will follow him there. Now, I don't know about you, but that comforts me. That comforts me to think that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, went before me. And he laid down some tracks, and he has made me his sheep, and I follow him into death. Now, that sounds a little depressing, but it gets better. Amen. When he died, they laid him in a tomb. And you all know the account. For 3 days he lay there. In Luke, the 24th chapter, you can read this in several other Gospels, but at the end of it says, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Read on down to verse 5. And it says, "And they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said unto them," this is the angels now, "they said unto them," listen to this, this is the greatest, one of the greatest lines in the Bible to me, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?"
Amen.
And he says, "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Here is our great shepherd, marred beyond recognition, laid in a tomb. And 3 days later, people come to where the great shepherd is. And what they find, that the great shepherd is not there. And the angels say, "He's not here. He's risen." We know that Jesus Christ in that time defeated death. Yes. One of the things that we fear the most, our great shepherd went before us, he suffered, and he died. And here we see his victory over death.
Amen.
All right, and that's where the great shepherd went. Now, if you look over in Romans, the 6th chapter, it says this in verse 8, "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." I want you to keep in mind, we're talking about how the sheep will follow the shepherd. If Jesus Christ laid in that tomb, there was a moment when he sat up, the stone rolled away, and he walked out of there. And he left the power of death behind him.
Amen.
That's our great shepherd. In 1 Corinthians it says this: will we follow Jesus there? Will we follow the great shepherd into the resurrection of eternal life? 1 Corinthians says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'"
Amen.
I want you to think about our great shepherd hanging on that cross. And he died. We will follow him there. I want you to think about him laying in that tomb and having a resurrection unto eternal life. He went before us, and because of that, we will follow him there. If Christ is raised, we will be raised. If we die with Christ, we'll also live with Christ. Now, when he came out of that grave, There was some time that he walked among the people, 40 days I believe it was. He tells Peter in John the 13th chapter, before he dies and before he's resurrected, he tells Peter, I'm going somewhere and you cannot follow me yet. He says, where I'm going, you can't follow. He says, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And he goes on in John the 17th chapter and he's praying to God the Father. And he says, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, God, where I am, I want those that you've given to be with me also. He tells Peter, but it's not time for you to go there yet. He said, but in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. You read in Acts the first chapter. I know I'm flipping a lot. Y'all just hang with me. In Acts the first chapter, think about what Jesus has said. Jesus said, I'm going somewhere, and you can't follow me yet, but you will follow me. Lord, I want them to follow me. Lord, I want them to be with me where I'm at. In Acts, the first chapter, he comes and he talks to his disciples, he talks to the apostles, and he's telling them some things there. And it says, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And he talks for a while. And in verse 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I want you to flip over to 1 Thessalonians for just a second, or you can just listen to me read it. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, Jesus Christ went to death as the great shepherd before us, and we will follow him there. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, leaving death behind him. He went before us, and we will follow him there. Once he was resurrected, we see that he ascended into heaven. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, read about verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen, when Jesus Christ ascended, it said he went up in a cloud. He is our great shepherd that ascended into heaven to be in eternity with the Father forever. And it says there's coming a time when we as his sheep will follow the very tracks he left behind. Amen. There's coming a time when we will be taken up in the clouds to forever be with the Lord. Now that's comforting. As a matter of fact, it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Now, we will follow him in death, but he went before us. Right. He went before us in being resurrected to eternal life, and we will follow the shepherd there. Amen. He went before us in descending into heaven, and we will follow him there. Okay. Now you say, well, all those things are great, but all those things are things that are to come. What tracks are there for me to follow now? This is the greatest part of the whole thing, if you ask me. In the Old Testament, we know there was a tabernacle and there was a temple. And for the sake of time, I'll give you this the nutshell of it. In this tabernacle or this temple, in this worldly sanctuary is what it's called, there was an inner room separated with a giant veil. And from what I read historically, it was a thick curtain separated. And in this inner room, it was the holiest of the holies, the most holy place. And this was the place that if we read over in Hebrews 9, one time a year, the high priest alone would go into this holy, most holy place. And he would take the blood that was offered from the sacrifices, and he would sprinkle them on the mercy seat. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that those did not take away the sins, but brought to remembrance the need for that. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and the 7th verse, it says this, but into the second, that means into that inner veil, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Now notice, when this high priest goes into this inner veil, okay, by himself, with this blood, the Lord came down, and this man was in the presence of the Lord, and what he found was a throne of grace. Okay? But if old Joe Blow over here would have said, you know what, I don't know about this high priest deal. Why do you get to keep going in there? I think I've done pretty well. Let me go in there and you stay out here. So the high priest says, fine, here's the blood. Go in there and do what I always do. When he opened that curtain and he stood in the holiest of holies, he would not have found a throne of grace. He would have found a throne of judgment. Now, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says this, our great shepherd, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you say, you mean to tell me that Jesus Christ came down and Jesus Christ took that blood and he went into that veil and he became the high priest? That's not what I'm telling you. Hebrews 9 tells us more about the offering that Jesus Christ made and the place in which he made it. Hebrews 9:11 says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." In verse 24 it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now think about that. Here's the great shepherd. Here's the great shepherd that in the figures of the Old Testament takes, he does not take a bull, he does not take a goat or a ram, he takes his own self, his own blood, he does not enter into a worldly sanctuary made with hands, but he goes into heaven itself, into the very presence of the Father. Amen. He does not find a throne of judgment, he finds a throne of grace as he offers that blood to the Father. And Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." That means the ones that have been set apart, he perfected them forever. Now, when he did that, if you go back and read it, I think it's Matthew the 27th chapter, you read that when the Lord died on the cross, he was offering himself to the Lord, that curtain, that veil was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying this is a work from the Lord, and it opened up that most holy place exposed.
Amen.
Now, this is our great shepherd that went into heaven itself, into the presence of the Father with his very own blood, and said, "This is for my people, for all those that are sanctified, that you sanctified, I'm offering myself to perfect them forever, to obtain eternal redemption for them." Now, he says in Hebrews 4, it says, remember, he went in and found a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment, because he was the appropriate sacrifice for doing what he did.
Right.
And it says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Folks, that's talking about now.
Right.
In a time of need, that is not on the other side of eternity.
Amen.
That is now. Now is when we are in a time of need. And it says you can approach boldly under that same throne of grace that your great shepherd has already been to and already torn the veil and offered himself. And it says, because our shepherd goes before us and we will follow him as his sheep, that you can boldly approach that throne of grace and you will not find a throne of judgment because of the work that Jesus Christ did. That's a great shepherd.
Amen.
That's a shepherd that has laid the tracks before us in the snow that we will follow. And I'm very comforted by that.
Right.
And every time you get on your knees, every time you're riding in your car and you cut the radio off and you take a moment just to meditate to the Lord and to pray to the Lord, you are entering into a place that our great shepherd has already been and made accessible to us.
Amen.
Don't take that lightly.
Amen.
I am very thankful to have a great shepherd that was purposeful, that was intentional, that went before us with a mind to accomplish something.
Right.
And if you notice this in your death, I realize there are exceptions to this, but in your death, you're passive. Do you realize that your body eventually just shuts down and you die?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus gave up his ghost, okay? But you're passive in your death. When you're resurrected into life, you'll be passive in that.
Amen.
You will not have a say-so in that.
Amen.
When you're ascended into the clouds, it will be because the power of God delivers you there.
Right.
I'm thankful to have a shepherd who laid tracks with a purpose.
Amen.
And he accomplished things when he set them out. And I'm thankful that he tore the veil. I'm thankful that he went into the most holy place and offered himself, because I know if I would have gone in there, I would not have found a throne of grace
Amen.
Except it be for the work that Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
I'm thankful to have a great shepherd that did it the way he did it. And I do not want to take lightly the truth that he went before me into that throne of grace. And every day that passes by, I should spend some time at the throne of grace.
Yes.
And I should petition to the Lord, because that is a blessing to us, that I don't have to wait to go to somebody else and say, here's what I've got, here's my desires, here's my burdens, here's my heartaches. When you see fit, take those to the Lord. Jesus said, come on in. I've made a way for you. I am your great shepherd. The great shepherd goeth before us, and the sheep follow him. And I hope that's been profitable to you this morning.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.